Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Shakespeare in Love.
I watched the second half of Shakespeare in Love.
And this is the other half.
Rom-com month! Hi, everybody, and welcome to April, where we will be discussing a bunch of movies that have something to do with romance and comedy.
Yep. And we sprung into action and picked a bunch of movies for this fine April.
Yes, that's right. Starting off with the Oscar award-winning Best Picture movie. We are starting now 3 months off with movies that were nominated or won Best Picture. And yeah, this one won. Shakespeare in Love, the Harvey Weinstein produced film.
Very
Gwyneth
specific.
Paltrow.
It's weird why you brought that up.
Gwyneth Paltrow, Dame Judi Dench.
Dame Judi Dench.
Jeffrey Rush. And
Shakespeare
himself.
I don't remember who played him.
I looked him up and I don't
almost anything, right? Yeah. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, he's no Paul Mescal.
You know what he looks like? He looks like Hook from
Once Upon a Time.
Yeah,
totally, because he got that specific look
and he's got the eye kind of man eye shadow guys have.
Yes. And he's got that
mascara. That's the word.
Mascara. And he's
mascara.
And he's got that cunty looking earring.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he also famously also looks like William Shakespeare.
Ignore that picture of him being all bald and shit and
bald,
have that goofy
gross.
little curl.
Just like, I mean, he does kind of look like Paul Mescal a little bit from Hamnet. Very close to watching Hamnet.
Weird.
Didn't it feel a little
weird? Well, also, like, in my half, at one point, they're like, weren't you in love with someone before?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, we kind of drifted apart. And I was just like, think about this in like Hamnet and all the shit that happens where he leaves.
Oh,
and then comes
worse.
Back.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It gets worse in my half of the movie because, I mean, spoilers. He's still married.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're just supposed to be okay with that.
Yeah. I was going to say, how are they going to bring this up? Because they brought it up. They literally could just not have mentioned it.
No, because historically he was married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he had a wife.
To Anne Hathaway, right?
Exactly. Catwoman herself.
Star of Devil Wars Prada 2.
And Devil Wars Prada 1.
Yep.
So it was fun watching this movie directly after watching Hamnet because I was thinking the same thing.
Because also like Hamnet's such a dramatic,
sad
movie. And then you got this, which is like a goofy comedy. So it's like, by the way, I left my sad fucking witch wife to go party with high society fuck people all the time and worry about my muse
and then
fall in love. And it's just like, oh, so you're doing all that and your wife's over here raising all these kids.
And dying. Or one of the kids is
dying.
Yeah. It felt a lot. Yeah. The whole movie had a very similar vibe to like Moulin Rouge to me. Which I like, you don't. But
well,
as someone who does like Moulin Rouge, I watch this and I'm like, I understand the viewpoint now of someone who doesn't
it's
like
not
Moulin
as,
Rouge.
I will say, even if someone doesn't like Moulin Rouge, it doesn't have the same like jovialness.
Yeah.
Jovialness and visual flair.
Yeah.
But that being said, it was fun. Yeah, I had a good time watching this.
Yeah, it was easy
to watch.
It was very easy to watch.
Yeah.
The thing that surprised me is how goofy it was.
Yeah, there's a lot of comedy in it.
Like, Jeffrey Rush is just playing a cartoon character.
Jeffrey Rush feels so weird in this movie. He's just such a random little goofy guy they just got.
Yeah. Every character had, like, a joke, which was kind of funny. Like, also, like, Ben Affleck is in the movie.
Yeah. Which is, when I saw him appear, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, I saw him in my app, and I'm like, oh, we're going to actually, like, Ben Affleck is in this movie. That's not a big deal.
Well, he was one of Harvey Weinstein's best friends.
That's right. Because he was a Dogma.
Yeah.
And then Gwyneth Paltrow, she's fine. I think she does a pretty good job in it.
Yeah.
It's not a bad movie.
It's one of those movies where it's like, best picture, really?
I mean, look it up, because we were talking before the podcast a little bit about... It won best picture, but I wanted to look into like what the other movies that were nominated that year was, because I remember it was kind of a stacked year, and it was...
This is like Green Book winning, right? It's just like...
pretty much.
I don't know. Green Book is probably worse, because
at least it's a little cute.
Yeah, it's inoffensive.
Yeah, it's inoffensive.
So one of my earliest memories about this movie is I was a kid when the movie came out. I had no interest in this movie, and I was at the eye doctor, and... I was mentioning that, oh, I'm going to go see a movie after this. And they're like, what are you going to go see? Shakespeare in Love? I'm like, that's an R-rated movie. My mom laughs. Yeah. That was funny. That's my association with Shakespeare in Love.
That's all it is.
I had no idea anything else about it. No idea what the story was.
I grew up. I attended like drama classes in high school. And I remember my teacher going like, one day we're going to watch Shakespeare in Love because it's, you know, it's rated R. But, you know, it's really important. And you get to learn a lot about, you know, like, you know, Shakespeare and stuff like that. And I'm watching this movie. I'm like, there's nothing I would have learned. Like, this wasn't anything.
It was also like mostly fictional. Right, like, yeah, this is the cool idea.
Yeah, exactly. Highly fictionalized representation of what I, you know, it was. Yeah,
I guess
exactly.
You would have got like the time period of that, like, wow, England's gross. That's
yeah,
it. Like
pretty much. Yeah, Thin Red Line was nominated that year, which is that Terrence Malick film. Saving Private Ryan was also nominated that year. Yeah, Life is Beautiful, the Roberto Benigni film that takes place during the Holocaust.
Damn.
And Elizabeth, British biographical historical drama. With Kate Blanchett as Elizabeth the First of England, okay. And Geoffrey Rush. Whoa,
really cooking this year.
He would have won no matter what. But yeah, so Shakespeare in Love won a winning over that, which was, it was the first comedy to win Best Picture since Annie Hall won.
Wow.
So yeah,
I mean,
so one was
everyone was
a
just
Woody
watched...
Allen joint, and the other one was Harvey Weinstein produced. So
maybe the comedy people aren't all right after all.
Nothing funny.
It's
about
also
this.
Nothing funny about this. But to be fair, they did just watch like something about the Holocaust and something about like
World War II,
like one of the heavy movie about that.
Two
like,
movies. No, because Thin Blue Line, I think, is about the Vietnam War. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Thin
yeah,
Red Line.
A lot of. Huh?
Thin Blue Line's a different movie.
Sorry, Thin Red Line, yeah. Thin Blue Line is a different movie, which is a documentary, sorry. But anyway. This movie's
that.
The one that won.
This
sometimes
movie's the
you
one
just
won.
Need the light action, you know, the light, you know.
Sometimes you need a crowd pleaser to win. Sometimes yeah. You need Avatar 2 to win.
Sometimes.
Best picture.
Sometimes. And sometimes Avatar 3 doesn't get nominated. And
sometimes all is right in the world. Just like Wicked 2 not getting nominated.
Yes,
anyway.
That's right.
So the movie starts off with a shot of the Globe Theater as it's panning around, explains there are two playhouses that were fighting it out for writers and audiences.
Two playhouses alike in dignity.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is just a retelling of that.
Of Romeo and Juliet. Yeah.
It's a cute, creative way of doing it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes. So there's the Curtain Theater, which has Richard Burbage, who is a famous actor at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then across the street was where Shakespeare is with Globe, where Philip Henslow has a cash flow problem. We're introduced to Geoffrey Rush and he has his feet literally over a fire and they're like, give us the money. Where's the money? He's like, I gotta play, it's coming. Mm-hmm. It's Shakespeare. They're like, Shakespeare, what's the name of the play? And he's like, it's Romeo and Ethel. And they're like, Romeo and Ethel? All right, we'll see where this goes. And that, as an audience, you're like, that's not the name of
yeah,
the
see,
play.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. This is goofy as hell.
Yeah. That's not the... But it said, Romeo and Ethel, a pirate's daughter, was the name. So it was, you know, just pitches a comedy, and they're like, fine, make enough money for that, fill the seats, we'll let you off this time. And he's like, well, how will I pay the actors and everything? He's like, give them a share of the profits.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, there are never any profits. He's like, I know.
Ha, 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 ha.
We never pay anyone. And then we cut to Shakespeare. He's brooding. He's writing.
Is so extra in this movie.
He's so extra. Yeah. He's the most like poet, starving artist type.
It's honestly kind of aggravating.
The most hopeless romantic to a point where it's just like, you seem like the most annoying person to work with. Which like... Sure, probably
was for Shakespeare.
Probably was he probably was very annoying to work with. All the best creatives are. I mean, look at Harvey Weinstein. He's made so many good ones. And he was a breeze to work with, from what we understand.
And Woody Allen.
Yeah. Great times. So yeah, he's sitting there and he's like, oh, I don't know what to write. And you see Henslow, Geoffrey Rush, walking through this nasty ass England. And he's like, where's my play? And Shakespeare's like, oh, it's all locked up in here. And he's like, well, how do I get it unlocked? He's like, I have to find a muse to inspire me to write this. And then Henslow's like, well, you know, our theater was like closed for 12 weeks due to the plague, which explains the cash flow problems.
Yeah, big flow. Yeah.
Yeah.
COVID just happened. We closed all the theaters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh, prediction.
Prediction.
Shakespeare is like, all right, I'm going to go to basically therapy at the time. And he goes to therapy and starts talking to this person who's, you know, a therapist / con artist.
Mm-hmm. Like most therapists, am I right?
Yeah, I love when your therapist says, here is a band with a snake on it, and you're going to put your name into the band of the snake. And then you're going to give that band to the girl you love, and she's going to fall in love with you. That's exactly what this, a therapist does.
Yes, 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 exactly.
I mean, who hasn't done that in their, their therapy session?
That's how I found my wife.
Anyway. But, yeah, anyway, so he, the person does that for Shakespeare, and he's all excited. He's like, okay, I'll do that. Whoever wears a bracelet will be in love. So then he goes to the rival theater company, and Burbage, he's like, I'm about to entertain the queen, but we're going to go. So they go. And they entertain the queen. But Burbage has a lady friend named Rosalina.
Oh. That's one of the characters in Romeo and Juliet.
And Shakespeare says...
Rosalind, I guess, but yeah.
Rosalind. Yeah. Yeah, maybe it is Rosalind. I just wrote it wrong.
Either way.
Anyway. Yeah. Rosalina, she's like, will you be my muse? And she's like, oh, yes, Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Burbage has my key, but you have my heart. And then they go out, you go out and you see the play that they're putting on. It's for the queen, and the queen is there. Didn't recognize Judi Dench at first, honestly.
Oh yeah. Cause she wasn't done up like a cat.
Exactly. She was not in cat form. So yeah. I was like,
even though we've seen
queen?
So many 007 movies, we still just think about
she,
her.
Okay.
Too.
To be fair, her hair is all weird. She's like almost like bald. Yeah. Like, yeah, and yeah. It has like a weird hat thing on. It's a lot.
It's called a wig.
I feel like it's gone beyond a wig.
Yeah.
It's become a hat.
It's crossed the line.
It's crossed the line.
Hairline.
Hey. But yeah, she's loving this comedy. Basically, this guy just walking around like a dog is mad at him, and the dog's pulling at him. And there's a through line on this comes up in your half where they're basically like, a comedy has to have a dog in it. Or it's not a real comedy.
Happens,
okay,
yeah.
Well, maybe that's just a joke for my half. They play back anyway, pulls the thing. It's funny. And then the real play comes out.
Mm.
And we see...
Marlowe.
This guy. No. Oh. Oh, wait. Maybe it is.
I think it's Marlowe, right?
I think you're right. I think it is Marlowe doing a... part. I didn't know him at the time. I didn't recognize him at the time.
That's fair. The guy from My Best Friend's Wedding.
I've never seen that movie. Did we watch it for the podcast?
We saw it for the podcast, man. This is why I brought it up, because I knew for sure you'd seen the movie.
It was utterly... Oh, wait. I do remember it now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's... Yes, that's the
one. That's the guy. That's the gay best friend.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, it's coming back to me now. This is why we're doing Rom-Com Month again.
Yes, that's
because
right. Because
we could just watch the same movies again, and I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, next week we're going to talk about... The 10 Things I Hate About... No, not 10 Things I Hate About You. What the fuck was it? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The other 10 movie.
Yeah, Ethan's going to bring up his theory on the Mile High Club.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Listen to that episode, guys. It's great.
Yep. Anyway, so there's two people there in the audience besides the queen, Lord Wessex and...
Yes.
Viola, who is Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes.
And they're both in the audience, and Wessex has zero humor. He's not laughing at any of this. He's not really reacting to anything.
Played by Colin Firth.
Colin Firth.
Yeah.
King's Speech.
King's Speech.
He keeps looking over at Viola, and Viola is not... She's laughing at the comedy, but she's really intrigued by this this monologue poem that this guy's putting on, even though the queen is like, this is boring, and it's like falling asleep.
Right.
So Viola goes back to her home and talks to her handmaiden, and she's like, I can't wait to go back to the theater. I love the theater. And she's like, wow, what about the Wessex guy? He was looking at you. Couldn't take his eyes off you. And she's like, oh, he doesn't want me for anything but my fortune.
Yep.
Because she's super rich.
Yep.
She wants to be in love for love's sake. She's a hopeless romantic, but she's rich. So could she ever have real love? Anyway.
And can she ever trust anyone who falls in love with her?
Exactly. So she's like, I long to be in the company of the players. They seem to be having so much fun. The players are, I believe, the theater group that is... that eventually takes on Shakespeare's plays.
Yes.
She would love to be part of them and actually do acting.
Yes.
But
women can act.
Women can act.
And also in this time, women were not allowed to.
Hey! Got him! Woohoo!
That was so stupid. but it is against the law for women to perform on stage.
I didn't know it was a law thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like, we just don't do that.
No.
Why would you? Why would you not do something? We just don't do that.
It's against the law.
No one thought about it before.
No, it's stupid.
Because they just knew women couldn't act. So they're like, why would we even could think of that as an idea?
No, it's a law. They're not allowed.
That's crazy. Like women on ships. Crazy.
Yeah. Women and semen don't mix.
You had that one in the oven for a while, huh?
Well, it's from King Kong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And The Simpsons. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Women and semen don't mix.
I don't think I remember that line from King Kong.
Yeah.
King Kong, the Peter Jackson one?
No, the original black and white King Kong.
They made that joke in that movie?
It was not a joke. They just said it normal because they were bringing on the lady onto the ship, and the one of the guys was like, women and semen don't mix.
I think they were making a joke.
And then in The Simpsons, they made that joke because Smithers said that. And then, yeah. Well, whatever. Who cares?
Anyway. So she's brushing her teeth. She's like the nurse. She's a nurse. So it sounds like there's something wrong with her. Like she's going to die at some point.
No, everyone just had nurses.
Really?
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, I thought they would just call them like, I just called them servants. Cause I was like, that's not right. But then they literally call each other nurse. I'm like, well, what?
No, she's just a servant essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. They act like servants. She doesn't,
no like health issues.
I thought that was like a Chekhov's gun thing where I was like, nurse is here. What's wrong with her? She's going to be able to be sick at some point.
No, in fact, I believe it's another reference to Shakespeare because like the nurse is one of the characters in Romeo and Juliet.
Probably.
And it's not like an actual like health nurse. It's just a person that tends.
Well, she does do some health things. She's like, hey, Viola, why don't you brush your teeth? And gives her a little stick to like brush her teeth with, like old school. Mm. And I was thinking, Gwyneth Paltrow probably still uses that kind of technology on her own teeth.
This is goop shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Henslow is going to get killed again because they're upset that the theaters are still closed. And he's like, I don't know what I fucking do about that. But then the theaters are open again and everyone's very happy. Shakespeare is super excited about his new play, Romeo and Rosaline.
Oh, he's changed it.
So he's going to go talk to Burbage and looking for him, but then opens the bedroom and sees that Mr. Tinley is banging Rosalina. Not even Burbage, who she's supposedly like.
She's supposed to be with Burbage, but
she's
Tinley?
Cheating on
the Tinley. The guy with the beard and the nose?
Yeah, that guy who is, I think, the... like the master or something. He basically ordered everyone to open up the theater again.
Yes. He's like part of the police.
Yes.
Yeah. I recognize him from Ace Ventura, The Nature Calls.
That's so funny. But yeah, he's doing it to basically help everyone, I guess. I don't know. But he's also, at this point, Shakespeare. He's acting like a real Romeo right now. He's like, fuck this. And he goes and burns his play.
Burns Romeo and Rosalind.
He burns it.
Oh no.
But yeah. So, also, this guy is also like not even like interested in Shakespeare's play anymore. He was trying to get something written, or it didn't seem like it was. He's now going to Kit Marlowe.
Yes, Marlowe, my man.
Marlowe.
So historically, everyone believes that Marlowe was the one that was actually writing Shakespeare's play.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So Henslow is like, where's your play? Is it ready? And I think Shakespeare lies and is like, yeah, it's ready. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, let's get some actors. So he immediately stands up in this bar and he's just like, I need some actors. And they're like, what about the money? And he says, it won't cost you a penny. And everyone kind of leaves to go do rehearsals. And Shakespeare finds Marlowe at the bar and he's like,
how fucking hot is Marlowe?
Honestly, he just looks like a guy to me.
Oh, he looks so cool to me.
He looks like just a guy.
What the fuck is that guy's name
again? He's barely in my half, to be honest.
Oh, is he? I mean, I guess he's barely in my half too, but I just like that actor.
He made an impression on you.
He made a big impression.
You got a Marlowe impression.
I got a Marlowe impression. Yeah, that's right. What the fuck is the guy's name again? Go ahead and keep going.
I don't know. Anyway, so Marlowe's talking about his play. It's going to be called The Masquer of Paris, which sounds really cool.
That does sound cool.
He's like, what are you writing there? Shakespeare's like, I haven't written a word, honestly. Mm. But it was called Romeo and Rosaline and or Ethel.
Rupert Everett is the guy's name.
Mm, okay. Don't know his name.
From My Best Friend's Wedding.
Have I seen that movie? But basically, Marlowe actually gives him some advice and is like, so you don't have anything written. So how about Romeo is Italian? He's always in and out of love. And then he meets Ethel. The brother of the rival, and Shakespeare's like, that's a great idea, thank you, and he runs off.
Yep.
And you know, that's kind of how the actual play goes.
Yeah.
So then the actors are all doing they're actually all reading Marlowe's play in the auditions, but they're reading Two Gentlemen of Verona.
Yes.
And they're all reading that, and eventually everyone's bored. Jeffrey Rush is like, I need to go somewhere, why don't we're done, that's all the auditions. And then Viola comes out disguised as someone named Thomas Kent.
Oh.
She says, I'm going to do a performance. And she starts reading something completely. Oh, excuse me. Two Gentlemen of Verona is what she actually does while everyone else is doing the Marlowe's play.
Yes, I was going to say Two Gentlemen of Verona is a Shakespeare play.
Yeah, so she's already like, you know, reading the work to Shakespeare about his own work, and she's performing it really well.
Right.
And he immediately comes up and is like, take off your hat. I want to see your face. She's like, how do you do this so well? And she runs away and he chases her through the streets, eventually to a boat.
That's insane. Like, how are you so good at this? Chasing them through the streets.
Goes all the way back to her quarters where she lives and runs up to it, and we see her come in, and Viola's mom's luckily dropping some lore for the audience and is like, I'll be gone and leaving for 3 weeks. And the maid answers the door for Shakespeare and is like, oh, Master Kent? Oh yes. Oh, he's my nephew and I'll give you whatever note he wants. Viola is like super into this. She's like, I will want to do this. Well, I need you to do, my nurse, as I need you to bind my breasts and get me a boy wig.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to continue doing this. So then Shakespeare's actually down so fucking bad
for Thomas Kent?
For Thomas Kent, I guess. And
My muse.
Old Tommy here.
Yeah.
He waits up all night and eventually sees Lord Wessex ride up with a bunch of, like, and he actually breaks through, like, a little party. I started having, like, a party or something there.
Mm-hmm.
A party of musicians. And Shakespeare goes with the musicians and actually pretends to hang out with them and get into the place because he knows them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a little dance. And Wessex is there. And Wessex is, like, talking to Viola's dad. And he says stuff like, is she fertile? And her dad's like, she will breed. And I was just like, oh my God.
Imagine, like, you have a daughter and, like, they have a boyfriend. The boyfriend comes up and is like, is your daughter fertile? Be like, you're never speaking to her again.
Yes, exactly, right? She may be, but you're not going to be.
Yeah. That's good.
Shooting blanks for everybody. If you can shoot at all. Anyway. Shakespeare hides with musicians. He dances eventually with Viola, who is shocked that he's like, oh, she recognizes him. He's like, oh, Master Shakespeare. And it's like a dance where they're going between different people. So she goes back to Wessex, and Wessex is like, I've been speaking with your father. And she says a great line. So what? I speak to him every day. And then she goes back to Shakespeare. And she's like, I heard you were a poet, but a poet with no words, Shakespeare. And I'm like, they did the exact same thing in Hamlet. First met Anne Hathaway and that. And she's like, you have no words, but you're supposed to be good with words.
Mm-hmm.
Classic thing. Classic.
Clearly, whoever wrote Hamlet had seen Shakespeare in Love first and was like, I can do this better.
Probably.
Yeah. But only one of these movies won Best Picture.
So. I guess clear as day.
Yeah.
There's no ulterior or any sort of money handling in the background.
Not at all.
Weird. So then Wessex sees Shakespeare's talking to her and then actually pulls him away, pulls a knife to him and says,
who are you?
Says, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, and he says, you're talking to my property.
Fucked up.
I know.
Already don't like this guy.
Yeah. Easy way. I mean, this is like kick the dog sort of thing, right? Like
a woman.
Kick the woman down.
She's my breeding woman.
And then he's like, who are you?
Marlowe.
And he says Marlowe.
Yeah.
Which I know has to come into play in your head.
Oh, it does.
So then the whole party
ends.
Why
does he do that?
He doesn't want to get in fucking trouble. Guy's a knife to him. He's like, I'm not this guy. I'm some other writer poet.
Some other writer poet that I like.
Yeah.
Could have said someone he didn't like, you know?
I'm
Geoffrey Rush.
I didn't know he liked him at this time. I thought
he was friendly with him, I guess. Stole all his good work.
Geoffrey Rush isn't a poet. He's just a theater owner.
He's just
owner
a guy.
He just runs the theater.
Yeah.
He's a producer.
He's a producer. Yeah, like a Harvey Weinstein.
Like a Harvey Weinstein, So then Shakespeare, by the way, his outfit is so stupid. He probably has the worst outfit.
Who, Shakespeare's?
No, not Shakespeare. Shakespeare's got to have the Riz. It's Geoffrey Rush's
Geoffrey
character.
Geoffrey Rush,
He's got the goofiest little hat with these bloomers on.
And like fake teeth.
He's goofy looking as hell.
Yeah, he's no Barbossa in this movie.
No, not at all. You got all the Riz there. So then Shakespeare goes to her balcony at night after the whole thing. He's just like, will not leave the premises. And she's into it. She's like talking to him and they're doing very Romeo and Juliet type thing.
Yeah.
And eventually he's like, I'm going to climb up to you and talk to you. And he climbs the side of a vine and gets up there. But a nurse sees him and screams and he falls off and has to run away. And he's immediately like, I'm so good at writing now. He goes back the next day.
His muse.
Can't stop writing. And he's got a muse. So he's actually watching everyone do the play and he sees, oh my God, what's her alter name?
Thomas Kent.
Thomas Kent is there. And, He actually kicks out an actor, some guy named, this is a different guy. Sorry. There's this guy named, John Webster is the guy he kicks out.
John Webster.
Do you know who John Webster
No,
is?
I don't know who John
He's
Webster
He's also
is.
Wrote, plays at the same time as,
Shakespeare.
And, but the thing was, they portray him in this as like a fucked up guy. Like he's just, like, he's a little kid kind of at this point. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting outside. Shakespeare finds him later.
I see him in my half you probably movie too. Do. Yeah. He's a little fucked up kid.
He's a little fucked up kid. And he's like, you see him in your first introduction to him actually, besides being kicked out of a theater, is he's like feeding rats to a cat. He's like, he's like, I think plays are more fun with violence.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay. So anyway, Shakespeare is there.
And he's in love.
And they actually fucking Ned Alien. Is that how you say his name? A-L-L-E-Y-N. They never say his name in my half of the movie. I just looked
just call
it up.
Him Ned.
Ned came up. It's Ben Affleck.
Oh.
He's there. Okay. He's super arrogant. He talks shit on everyone. In fact, the money guy is actually getting mad at Jeffrey Rush. He's like, get the fuck out of here. But he is impressed by just Ned's riz and confidence.
His Boston accent.
His Boston accent. He's definitely doing. So he actually like kind of convinces the money man who's been trying to like shut the whole thing down to like be interested and kind of brings him on board. And I think he actually gets a small part in the play.
He does. A small part. He's like Romeo's best friend in the play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wasn't quite clear what he was doing at that time.
Okay.
For me. So he sees. Okay. I already mentioned that part. Okay. So Viola's here and she comes out again. And has a mustache this time and a little wig. And I'm like, no one thought that like you grew that mustache quickly. But I realized he probably didn't see the mustache.
Yeah, he was too busy looking at her butt.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. The top of her head.
Yeah.
So then Wessex is waiting this whole time while she's having a good time trying to do this play with Shakespeare.
Right.
And he's mad. The maid's like, or the nurse says she's at church. She's very pious. Mm-hmm. And eventually she comes in. And she still has her mustache on. The nurse has to rip it off.
Oh, no.
And Wessex is like, hey, I've spoken to the queen, and she's given her consent that I can marry. And she's like, what? Like, I'm very glad. Who do you want to marry? And he's like, your father must give you better information, but I'm going to be marrying you. And her face is like drops. She's upset. She's like, immediately says, I do not love you, my lord. Mm-hmm. And he's like, whatever. I don't care. You'll love it in Virginia. I have a big tobacco field there, which also is like, he's probably got slaves. Probably super bad guy.
Just yeah, real McLovin over here.
Real McLovin.
Because he's super bad.
He goes up to kiss her. She smacks him immediately.
Nice.
And
he's into that, though.
Yes. Yeah. So the queen has given him permission to marry, but still needs to check on her. So at some point on Saturday, she's going to be brought to, I think it's Saturday. It's Sunday. It doesn't matter. Is going to consent to it and have to make sure that, you know, this marriage is okay, which is a crazy thing to do if you're a lord, to be like,
yes,
we have to make sure this works out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Viola's having a hard time
dealing with all this because she doesn't love him.
She doesn't love him, but she's trying to do, you know, go back to
she
doing
wants
her
to be
play.
An actor.
She's doing her actor thing.
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck's yelling like, gentlemen upstage, ladies downstage. Gentlemen upstage, ladies downstage.
But she
are you a lady?
Yeah, because but she's not playing a lady.
Yes, she's playing
Romeo.
She's playing Romeo.
Yeah.
And some guy is playing Juliet, some little
the guy playing Juliet has a high voice, which is why he's playing Juliet.
Yes.
Comes into play later.
Which is funny because at one point, I think it was Shakespeare's like, has your balls dropped yet? And he's like, no, not yet.
Yes. This comes into play later.
So then Ned is, Ned is getting a little upset because he doesn't have his part in the play yet because he's in the second half.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't worry, it's going to be really good, Ned. It's going to be really awesome. Even you're gonna have so much cool stuff to say right before you die. And he's like, I die?
Everyone dies.
Yeah. Shakespeare gives a letter to Thomas Kent to give to Viola, and she reads it and then sends him a letter back, and she gives it to him, and he jumps on the boat and they're riding a boat back to the estate.
Got it.
And he basically opens, he's like, oh, she's breaking my heart. She says she's already betrothed to another.
But saying this like man to man.
Yes. Saying this man to man. And is like, you know, actually, I know that she loves me. And he's like, well, clearly not. If she's telling you to do this, you should do what she says. It's like, well, you can see there's like the ink stains, they're like wet, you know, and I could see that she's been crying. Like, sure. Would anyone really feel that? And he has all this long thing about poetry, and they basically talk about poetry together. Kent is like, so I haven't really seen her that much. Can you describe what she looks like?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, she's beautiful, more beautiful than ever.
If she were sitting right here in front of me with a mustache and a wig, yep, I would recognize her
exactly. She
Ethan
sings
is
too.
Actually the most like Shakespeare in this moment, because like you would not be able to.
I think I would be able to guess my partner, but also
you don't know.
He's not as familiar with what she actually looks like. I don't think
that's fair.
Only been a couple times. And he says all these things like her bosom. She's like, oh, explain about her bosom. He's like, a pair of pippins is
big
round.
Old gazongas over here.
Oh, he's such a poet.
Yeah. Boing, ba boing.
No, I got to actually say it. A pair of pippins are as round and as rare as golden apples. Wow. And she's like, wow, all these things. What lady could live up to that? You should keep your distance. And he said, because Wessex is going to be upset. Yeah. He says, for one kiss, I would deny 1,000 Lord Wessexes. And by that point, she's too fucking down. She kisses him and then gets
he's
off the
like,
boat and runs away. Well, he's just confused.
Oh, yeah.
And then the guy driving the boat is like, yeah, man. That's Viola, you idiot. It's so easy to tell.
The guy driving the boat.
Well, it's funny because earlier he starts talking and Shakespeare's like, no, shut up.
Yeah, yeah,
and he's
like,
all right.
For some reason, I thought it was like the two of them in the boat together.
No, no, no. Okay. Some guy's driving a boat the whole time.
That's so funny.
So then he runs upstairs and meets her and then they fucking smash.
Nice.
The nurse hears them smashing, so she waits outside to guard them, mm-hmm, and she's getting hot and bothered.
Yeah.
So that nurse is going to have some spank bank material for later. they smash till the morning. The maid's the nurse is still asleep outside. I'm just going to fucking, who cares what says maid? Same thing.
It's okay.
They go back to the play. They're both very horny for each other still. Yeah. In fact, he doesn't like it when she's going to kiss Romeo.
Right.
Juliet. She's going to kiss Juliet. Yeah. Doesn't like that part. Shakespeare writes more. And Viola was reading it back to him. And they start doing the obvious thing in case the audience can figure out that this was very clearly inspired.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, so they start talking about like different things like Ormina Pier, no one can know this.
Yeah.
Things like that. And the nurse is literally like knocking on the door and she's like, oh, you can't come in. And then in the actual play, you see Juliet saying the same
thing.
Yeah. And Ned comes up later and is like, hey, so I actually do like what you did to my part in the play. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I will say the title of this play sucks. You should call it Romeo and Juliet. He's like, oh, okay. Thanks for the suggestion.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind.
You fucking idiot.
Henslow, Geoffrey Rush, has now kind of got nothing to do. So he's like reading about the script. He's like, there's no dogs in here and there's no pirates. Well, this isn't going to be funny at all.
Yeah.
But the money guy's like, shut up. Get out of here. This is amazing. And they're in bed together. Not
who? The money man?
Yeah, the money man and Geoffrey Rush finally fuck it out.
Yeah. There's no pirates in here.
Just a butt pirate.
Yeah. There's no dogs in here. Let's do doggy style. Well, you're the money man.
I need that money shot.
So that, Geoffrey in love.
don't you rush.
Hey.
Anyway. So, no, Shakespeare and Viola are in bed.
Sure.
And she wakes up and goes, oh no, it's Sunday. I have to meet Mr. Wessex, get inspected by the queen. And he's like, what the fuck? Well, I'm going to go dress as a nurse. So he puts like a little headband on and just kind of like walks out. And that's the end of my half.
Yes. The queen has seen her. And, the queen has seen that Viola has attended the plays in the past. And Viola's like, I love theater and I love poetry. And the queen is like, who cares about fucking poetry? Poetry is not important and art isn't important.
Sounds like most aristocrats of our age, too.
Yeah, which is funny because she like goes to them pretty regularly.
But she likes the comedies. This is like basically being like, all I want to see is funny TikTok memes. I don't want to watch, like, sit down and watch a movie.
You know what's kind of funny is too, is like, this is like, it is a romantic comedy. Like, it's not just a romance, it's a comedy. And she's just like, yeah, romance isn't important, you know, comedies are fun or whatever. And I'm like, man, like, this movie like won Best Picture and was nominated across.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, this was a straight up romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Like a pretty light film. But anyway, the queen's like, art isn't important and it doesn't make anything true. And Viola's like, there's only one who can make it true. And the queen says that she will put art to the test. And she's like, will anyone take a, like, basically, like, anybody want to put in some money? And if there's one play out there that can state something true about love, then, you know, I don't know what the fucking stakes are here, but basically, somebody puts up money. It's Shakespeare in disguise. Mm. So then after this whole thing is done, she goes up and she talks to Wessex and she says that Viola, she's basically like, yo, someone's been fucking your girl and it wasn't you. And I can tell because I'm a woman. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Hey, that's Ludi Dench.
Ludi Dench. There's Judy Dench.
Lady Judy Dench, but it came out as Ludi Dench.
Ludi Dench. Judy Dench in the streets. Ludi Dench in the streets.
Hey! Yeah. And that's where she knows. So she's been fucking her man.
That's right. So immediately Wessex is like, this is Marlowe. I must dispose of Marlowe.
You're like, who's Marlowe?
I know. I knew who Marlowe was because he's a historical figure.
Bah.
And also, literally right after this, we see Marlowe. Marlowe is speaking to Burbage while he's fucking some lady.
That's good filmmaking when it's like, I Marlowe. Must be Marlowe. Cut to Marlowe.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Marlowe. Burbage is fucking Rosalind or whatever. And Marlowe's like, yeah, that money you gave to Shakespeare, he's gone behind your back. And
everyone's fucking Rosalind.
No, this is Burbage. Burbage is fucking
Rosalind. Oh, Burbage. Okay, I thought Marlowe was. Sorry.
No. Marlowe walks in on all this.
Ah, okay, got it.
And Marlowe basically tells Burbage, like, yo, that money you gave William Shakespeare, he's taking that money and he's performing his new play at the Globe, just so you know.
Yeah.
And Burbage is like, but I fucking paid him. So he gets all upset about it.
Yeah, he did ask for a play at the same time because I think Shakespeare just wanted more work, I guess.
I don't know. He needed the money.
Yeah, he needed the money and he just kind of like flaked out because he's all committed to Romeo and Juliet.
Yes, exactly. So then we cut, and I noticed now that Ben Affleck is in this movie.
What a jarring jump scare.
It was shocking to
me. My brain broke a little bit when I first saw him. I was like, wait, I recognize him, but it can't be.
That can't be
him. It can't be.
Yeah.
It is.
It's Ben Affleck. Daredevil himself,
baby.
Burbage busts in on the rehearsal that Ben Affleck is a part of and fights William Shakespeare. And there's a big, long sword fight. But I wrote down, it's largely without consequence because they play like this music that's like really goofy and jaunty. And everyone's just like, oh, ho, ho, ho. So it's like, no one's going to die here. Like, what is this scene even trying to like do? You know, it's very strange.
Weird.
Yeah. So the fight causes it to break. And I just wrote down, this is also goofy. And Viola, who's dressed like a boy, is beneath the stage dressed like a boy. And her and Will hide under there and they make out. And then Fenniman, who is the guy that's putting up the money for the Globe, hits Burbage with a skull, even though this is Romeo and Juliet, not
Hamlet.
He hits him with a skull and he knocks Burbage out.
Mike, give me some credit. I knew the skulls from Hamlet.
I'm giving you credit. The movie
you
was the one that got it wrong.
You didn't give me credit, though. I wanted credit.
Well, all right, I'm giving it to you, Ethan.
Thank you. Because I famously do not know a lot about Shakespeare.
It's true.
But I do know about that.
The skull. Yes.
The skull. Mainly because of the famous
scene.
Who owns
the skull?
What do you mean, who owns the skull?
Whose skull is
it? The theater company.
Okay, so after the big fight, everyone's like, let's go to a bar and we'll drink. And the theater company man, Fenniman, is like, it's all on me. So they go to a bar and they have drinks. And they're all hanging out and having a good time. And then Will tells Fenniman that he's going to give him a part in the play. He's just like, hey, like, you're going to be the guy that sells the poison to, like, Romeo or whatever. Mm. And then Henslowe, who is Jeffrey Rush, is like, what is this fucking play about? He's giving you poison? Where's the dogs? Where's the...
See, the dogs did come into play.
I'm using this as an example. But he's like, where's the pirates? Where's the dogs? And then he's like, you're going to have to tell me what this fucking play's about or I'll send you back to your wife in Stratford.
Ooh.
And everyone laughs except for Viola, who's very confused and upset about this. And I'm like, yeah, he does have a wife in Stratford. Yep. How is the movie going to deal with this? Movie's literally called Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was, that's why I was so confused. I was like, where's Anne Hathaway?
Yeah, where is she? Yeah, exactly.
Back at home,
not her.
Raising kids.
Yeah, with watching her son die.
Yeah.
So they get news that Marlowe is dead. Speaking of dead people, Marlowe's dead. He's been stabbed.
So that was of consequence.
Yes. And Will is super
upset. Did that really
upset.
Happen?
In real life?
Yeah, did Marlowe get stabbed?
I don't know. I don't think he did. But Will's super upset. And he goes to a church and he asks God to forgive him because he's like, I gave my name to a man that I knew hated me. And that man has more likely than not murdered my best friend.
Yeah.
Did Marlowe get stabbed?
I'm still looking it up, Mike. Oh, okay, I'll let you know when I find it out.
I assume you just pull this stuff up on like ChatGPT and then
gives
you the real
answer. No, I want a real answer because there's been multiple times I've just looked at something and been wrong. The last thing I want to do is go to ChatGPT.
Be even more wrong and then blame it on a robot.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No.
So Will's in a church and he's intensely playing. And then the very next day, Wessex rides up and comes across Viola on a horse. And he tells her a great playwright is dead, but not saying the name of who it is, because in his mind, he thinks it's Marlowe and he thinks he's talking about Marlowe. But in her mind, she's like a great playwright that must be Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to attend a church to attend Marlowe's funeral. And then all of a sudden, Will Shakespeare walks in. And Wessex is like, oh, shit, it's a fucking ghost. And he runs away. And Viola sees him and runs and embraces him. And then after all this, Will is like, my love is... Viola's like, you fucking lied to me. Like, you lied to me about your wife. You lied to me about, you know, everything. So what about Marlowe?
He was stabbed.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was stabbed. They don't really know why. Some people are saying because he's like very vocal atheist.
Oh.
At the
this
time.
This guy just keeps getting cooler and cooler.
Also because he might
or atheism.
He might have been gay. Could have been a drunken bar fight. Like, there's a lot of different ways people theorize. But he only lived to 29.
Damn, dog.
Yeah,
almost part of the 28 club.
Almost. Quite missed it. That's why he's not quite as cool.
So, so they go to the church. Viola's upset. She's like, you fucking lied to me. You lied to me about your wife and everything. And Will's like, I never lied to you. I never lied to you about my love. And he says that he was the one that was deceived because she lied to him about being a man or whatever.
Okay, that's then, completely different.
And then also he says, I will never be able to marry you because you are betrothed to Wessex.
Wessex, yeah.
So us having feelings for each other is like totally fucking cool. And the movie
what
just
a way
allows
to explain
us to
it.
Accept that. It's truly crazy. Like, I was like, really? What is this movie trying to like? Because, yeah, like he has a wife back at home and he's like, look, yeah, I got a wife. Me and you are never going to be like
just,
married.
We're cheating.
Yeah.
It's great. Who cares?
It's fucked up. It's super fucked up. So so then she's like, I love you, and they kiss. And that whole thing is completely,
wow.
Yeah, that whole thing is never talked about again.
Insane.
Yeah. So Romeo has written an ending to the play. He tells everybody. And it's an unhappy ending, and everyone's very upset about it. You know,
wow, so nothing happens. Like, I thought like maybe there'd be a thing where it's like they couldn't be. I guess maybe I realized they couldn't be together.
They basically are like, we can't be together, so like no consequence of us banging, basically.
That's so like weird and then be like, now we have a dark tragedy ending kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. The dark tragedy ending comes in the fact that like ultimately he does want to be with her. Mm-hmm. Like he does want to be married to her. And so it's this idea of like in the play, you have Romeo and Juliet. They're from two different worlds, obviously.
Yeah.
And then they end up killing each other because they'll never be able to be a part of anybody else's life.
Yeah.
Basically. Right. And this is idea of like William Shakespeare having to deal with the fact of like he's never going to be married to the woman that he loves. Basically, he's got to go back to that fucking lady.
But he still seems to be like cool with it. That's kind of the weird thing.
I think
he doesn't feel like he's processing it. The way you're explaining it doesn't make it sound like he's like that bummed out about it.
He isn't, because then immediately he just starts fucking Viola behind the scenes, basically. And
see, that's why I'm just like, this doesn't quite match.
I agree with you. They bang in the theater and a boy sees. This is the guy that's the eventually will be a playwright.
Yeah.
And
little
he sees
guy.
And he tells some strange man with a beard. It's Tilney.
Oh, okay.
And so Wessex bursts into another rehearsal and he pulls his sword, and Will only has a prop sword, and it's, I just wrote down, really bad combat, like really poorly shot, really poorly choreographed. Will is about to kill Wessex and announces to everyone that he is the killer of Marlowe, and Wessex is like, bro, I didn't do that. Like, I was happy that Marlowe was dead because I thought Marlowe was you, but I didn't have anything to do with his death. And Ben Affleck is like, yeah, bro. Yeah, man. I fucking saw, man. He was in a fucking tavern, bro.
It was a bar fight. That's what they say in the account on the Wikipedia.
Yeah, and so he's basically like, yeah, man, it wasn't him. It wasn't Marlowe. He just got in an argument. He died. Mm. And so William Shakespeare now, I think, has like the weight has lifted off his shoulders. But then Wessex tells Tilney to destroy this production, and Tilney's like, sedation, indecency, there's a woman on stage, and she is and everyone is like upset because she has destroyed the production, because as we all know, women were not allowed to perform.
It was illegal.
So she's like, I always wanted to be an actor. She apologized to everybody, and they all say that she was an incredible actor, and then she runs off. Fenimore and the crew drink their sorrows away in a pub, and he says that he's like, I would have been great on stage, because he was promised that part. And then I just wrote down, this is all fucking goofy and ridiculous. And then Burbage shows up, busts into the pub, and he's just like, yo, I want to put our differences aside. You can perform at our theater, because I know that they shut you down.
Mm, nice.
But they still need a Romeo.
Oh, who are they going to get?
Who's going to play Romeo? So
Shakespeare himself.
Yes. So
he knows what it's like.
That's right. So it's the wedding day.
Kind of dumb.
Yeah, it is. On the wedding day, Wessex is doing business, because this is a business decision, after all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a windy day, and a notice for Romeo and Juliet flies into Wessex's face, and Viola reads it and escapes her honeymoon to attend the play. The play starts. An actor with a stutter comes out and performs the opening perfectly.
Oh, that guy was in one of the auditions earlier.
Yeah, he's in the play, and he's got a bad stutter, and he's going to do the opening monologue, but he does it perfectly. The guy playing Juliet, his balls dropped and his voice is breaking.
Uh-oh.
So they need a new one, but they do have a Shakespeare, or Shakespeare is playing Romeo. So luckily Viola has arrived. So Viola walks out on stage when Juliet is called, and everyone is worried that they're going to be thrown in jail, but the play goes on and it's not that big a deal. So now William Shakespeare is playing Romeo and Viola is playing Juliet.
Oh my God, in case the audience couldn't figure out the parallels.
It's so much more obvious. And then the play ends, and at first nobody makes any noise after the play, but then the audience stares, and finally one person starts clapping, and then everyone applauds.
Does this happen in Hamlet, too?
Does it? I can't really remember.
I don't remember. It was in your half. So
in my half,
like,
it was
did
just...
Did anyone just be like silent at the end, but everyone's like, no, this shit's amazing.
I think that might have happened. I think it was mostly from the eyes of Hamlet's...
I guess that's true.
...mom, and she was just like, what's going on? Why are you saying his name? So everyone's like super excited. Everyone loved it. Even Wessex watched the whole thing. And the cast is relieved and everyone bows. And then suddenly Tilney busts in, the guy that runs the police station or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he threatens to arrest everybody. And then the queen is like, I've been here the whole time and nobody noticed, even though it's the fucking queen.
Really? Just like, because yeah, she's got a bunch of, does she not have her posse with her?
She does. She has everybody with her, but nobody seemed to notice that she was there.
Okay.
And she comes out and she's just like, all right, so... I know what it's like to be a woman in a man's profession, she says, because she's also the leader.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then she goes up to Viola and she's like, Viola, or she doesn't call her Viola. She calls her Trent Man. Todd Glass. What the fuck?
Yeah,
his name?
I don't know. Whatever his name
basically
is.
Whatever the man's name is. And it's like, you must be a man, because obviously it would be bad for a woman to play this. So you must be a man.
Okay.
Yeah. And then she brings up the wager about Wessex, about how Thomas Kent. And she's like, you're Thomas Kent. You're a man. You're just a really good actor, basically. And then she brings up the wager with Wessex about how art could be meaningful. He has lost the wager and it was for £50. So now £50 is delivered to Thomas Kent. So now she has the money. Wessex.
She does not need that money. She's rich already.
Yes. But she's going to give it to Shakespeare.
Oh, okay.
Because Shakespeare right now is doing... Poor she's like money for hire, basically. Yeah. Wessex runs out of the theater to speak to the queen. He travels. He's going, I'm going to travel to the New World soon. And the queen requests that Will write something more cheerful for the Twelfth Night.
Yes.
Which is the next play that William Shakespeare writes, mm-hmm. which is Twelfth Night. Viola offers £50 to Will, gives him the £50 that she was given. And he says that he's giving up the theater. I'm like, what a fucking baby.
Oh, he's so annoying.
He's like, look what dreaming has brought us. I'm like, yeah, it's brought you some pretty great shit. Viola and him start pitching the story of Twelfth Night, which features a man, or which features a woman dressing in as a man, Twelfth Night.
Wow.
And she says that she must go with Wessex. And I'm like, what an awkward journey that must be to the New World. Like, just on a boat with the guy that you, like...
Fucking hate.
Yeah, exactly. And that you also, like, slept around with or whatever. So... So the story will be about somebody traveling to the New World. And then she says, write me well. And we see Will write the story, naming one of the characters, the main character, after Viola. And that's the end of the movie. And then it says directed by John Madden. And I'm like,
John Madden?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, the football guy?
No, this guy's done nothing. I just looked him up.
Really? He's done nothing?
He has made like, I think, 8 movies. I've not heard a single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really.
I guess he made the best exotic Marigold Motel. Remember that?
With Dame Judi Dench as well.
Yeah. And then he's also made the second best exotic Marigold Motel, which I had no idea.
So he's made like 8 movies, and 2 of them are the most exotic Marigold Hotel.
Pretty much.
What a lame fucking movie. I don't know. I thought it was fine. It wasn't fine. Like the worst
I actually was kind of more hyped on it. And then you told me how it ended. I'm just like,
yeah,
that's
pretty
it?
Lame.
It's kind of
pretty lame.
It's kind of bad. Yeah. Do you know who the actor who plays Shakespeare is related to, though?
No. Is it William Shakespeare?
No, it's Ralph fucking Fiennes. He's his brother.
He looks just like him, kind of older too.
He's his brother,
but
he's hot.
He's hotter than Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
He ain't no conclave.
Well, I mean, look at him now. This is him now.
Ooh.
No, he's not bad. He's not ugly. I mean, he's older now.
He's definitely older.
He's 55 years old, you know?
He's losing that hair.
I mean, that's what happens when you're 55 fucking years old.
He really looks like Will Shakespeare in that.
Yeah, actually, this is a more
bald motherfucker.
Yeah, this is how I more picture him.
Yeah.
He's in The Handmaid's Tale, I guess. It's like one of the things he's been constantly
known for.
I had no idea. Never heard this guy before.
Yeah, me neither, except for this movie. But it was fine.
I don't know.
Are we rating these rom-com movies? What are we going to do?
Sure. How many?
5 kisses.
How many kisses out of kisses? 3?
3?
I was going to give it higher, but honestly, like the way you said that ending, it's just kind of like, I don't know. It just really took the wind out of my sails. Because before then, it's just a fun time. These people falling in love, and then they address the whole thing. And it literally feels like you could just watch Hamnet, get to the part where he's like, all right, I'm going to leave. You turn this movie on, watch the whole thing. They turn Hamnet back on. And you're like,
oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That'd be so, it's just so weird to think that.
Yeah, it is. It's weird that whole thing about him being married is never addressed.
It's just like, it can't happen. Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just keep doing what we're doing then. Yeah, it's pretty lame. I give it 2 kisses.
Damn, 2. That's pretty
just
rough.
2. Yeah, I don't know. That's what I give it.
I give it a...
There you go. I'm sure the audience is going to love that. Guys, how many kisses do you want? Email us, emailtheotherhalfpodcast.com.
You ain't getting any.
Not going to happen.
Can't happen. We're going to talk about it a lot, and we're going to write a whole play about it, about all the kisses you could get, but they're not going to happen.
You can email us at emailtheotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're also on Discord, and we have a Blue Sky. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app, like our My Best Friend's Wedding. You can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it in the show no matter what it says, even if it's written in iambic pentameter. I will do my best. Ooh. I promise. But yeah, does this want you to motivate you to watch any other Shakespeare performances?
Not at all.
I remember one time me and Ethan and a bunch of friends of ours got together and watched a Shakespeare play. What was it again? It was As You Like It, I want to say.
Oh yeah, it was As You Like It. And
we saw it at a park together. A lot of us got high and stuff.
Yeah, some of us, not anyone on this podcast.
I didn't either,
I don't think.
But anyway, we all got together, and then I remember me and my wife were really liking it, and we had read it before. And then I remember at one point we turned around, and you guys were all on your phones.
Well, we were on reading the script. We are reading the script, because fucking...
Shakespeare's language
is hard to
understand.
Yeah. I mean, dude, this language is, what, 600 years old? Man. Like, it's old as hell, and it's British.
It's British.
Basically, old. Might as well be in Greek.
That's true.
Might as well be a Greek tragedy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'd watch another fun park play like that. That was cool.
That was a lot of fun.
That was enjoyable.
One of these.
Yeah.
We've watched enough Shakespeare for this year, I'd say.
I think I'm kind of done.
Yeah,
me too. I'm kind of tapped out. I don't even know about this mythical guy anymore.
Mythical?
Well, like, he feels like a myth. I keep writing stuff around
him.
Nobody
knows much about him.
No, which they don't even think he wrote his stuff, which is weird, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that?
Good night, everybody. Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.